listening to WHAZ Troy, WMYY Schoharie, WBAR FM Lake Luzerne, WMND Rupert, and WHAZ.com on the internet.
Of Auburn Ministries. If you would like this message in its entirety, listen for contact information at the close of the program. Our prayer is that this timely message will stir your heart and spirit to begin to walk the road to unity.
You know, God is love, and Jesus is God's love to all of us. When we unite in that love that God has for all of his children, for all who believe in Jesus, that's a spiritual unity.
And that's really...
These issues like the triune God, that's almost a given. There are, of course, those people that want to argue about whether the triune God is more of a Trinity or more of a one God. The Bible says very clearly that it's both. And the reason that's a given is because in the first place, all of the major Christian denominations and non-denominations already agree in that there is the triune God. The second thing is, if you stop to argue about that, if someone says, such as the Jehovah's Witnesses say, Jesus is a God, well, we can't work with that.
That's right.
You're beginning to change the very definition of God that comes very fundamentally from the Bible in scriptures that all Christians really agree in. So the triune God is the triune God who's both, at the same time, both three and both one, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and at the same time, the one Spirit of God. That's essentially a given, and those that want to, you know, argue about more Trinity or more one God, we'll just have to let them sort that out and go on and move along in the Christian unity that the vast majority of Christians already agree in. The Bible, of course, there is only one book that we're all willing to agree in. People will point to the fact that maybe the Catholics have one or two chapters or books that they've added in addition to the Bible, and the same can be said for the Orthodox, but there is no Orthodox or Catholic person who is not fully prepared to defend and explain their faith in Christ thoroughly through by use of the Bible only, the same Bible that everybody else agrees in. So, again, because it's a commonly accepted thing, the Bible is essential that we focus on agreeing on only things that we have all confined in there. The holiness, the forgiveness, the repentance, I think I've pretty well gone over that. That's the key for what, that's the key explanation of what Jesus did for us on the cross. You know, that all comes with it. And if you're not prepared to repent and live in a holy life and seek God's forgiveness through the blood of Jesus, then, you know, you're really not Christian. You're not ready for it. So those are, I think, are the key elements in defining it. And let me explain it in terms of the words that I'm using here. We think it's essential not to get caught up in jargon. We're not looking for another creed. The only thing that's really wrong with creeds is that some people get offended by them. Some people feel they're being forced to say certain words. We're not trying to force any words on anybody, and we're just trying to define the essentials that are associated with Jesus and what he did for us all on the cross so that we can all begin together as brothers and sisters in Christ, working for Christian unity together.
And do you think every believer in the body of Christ has a personal responsibility to the grand vision of unity that we see in John 17? And if so, what can they do, practically speaking, to support the Christian unity?
Yes, I think that the Christian unity is the ultimate truth of the Bible. Okay, there are many Christian scholars, as you mentioned, everybody, lots of different Christians agree that Christian unity is essential. Just exactly what it is or what form it takes, maybe we're not agreed on yet. But we believe, yes, it is responsibility of everybody to get involved in Christian unity, and that includes the layperson and the clergy at every level on an equal basis to recognize Christian unity and what Jesus did for us all on the cross.
So it's the responsibility of the usher. It's the responsibility of the pastor behind the pulpit, the responsibility of the person who's reading the announcements on Sunday morning or on Wednesday evening. There has to be that general consensus that is always going to be manifested in a person's actions or their words of Christian unity. It's got to be something that's born in the heart of each person for it to be portrayed effectively and genuinely, because we know that the world knows, and as well as other believers know, that unless something is really genuine and has a firm conviction and something that someone really believes in, it's never really going to be grasped. It's never going to be contagious.
Right. I think the thing that we can all do is to learn about it in the Bible, show it to other believers in the Bible, and let me comment here that there hasn't been enough teaching on it. People with ministries such as Al Garrow's and Pete Robillard, they're trying to fill that gap, trying to make up the difference. In the past, it wasn't to the benefit of an individual denomination or any individual group of Christians to promote the concept of Christian unity with all others. It only benefits Jesus, and it only benefits the world out there that needs to hear the gospel message. So because it really didn't benefit particular denominations or groups, the subject of Christian unity has not been preached and taught like it should be. The scriptures that thoroughly explain it and talk about it extensively throughout the Bible have not been stressed enough. And that's what each of us can begin to do. One of the things that the Internet has done is it has brought together people from various Christian backgrounds and denominations and non-denominations of all kinds, all of whom are interested in Christian unity, and we've been able to find each other, and we've been able to learn from each other and share teachings and essentially grow together. And that's one good place to start now. If you're in a denomination or you're attending a church right now, congregation, local congregation of any kind of Christians, that is not really interested in Christian unity, don't leave them. That's the absolute worst thing you can do for Christian unity.
Sure.
We are not remotely trying to create another denomination or another group. That would be the absolute worst thing we could do. What we're trying to do is find agreement with everybody, every Christian, right where they are, in all the various different Christian groups, and begin to unite spiritually and recognize our oneness together in Jesus. So the first thing we can do is to learn about it in a practical sense, show it to other believers in the Bible. When we find the scripture, show others where it is. Believe it, and then expect God to show his power in it. There's an element, as far as other practical applications of Christian unity to others, there's an element that we really don't know exactly what it is. I mean, the form that it should take may vary from person to person. There's an element of what we should do, each of us should do for Christian unity, that is up to each of us to find. We don't have all the answers about Christian unity. No one can tell you exactly what you should do for Christian unity, but we do know what it would look like. We can know for sure what the Bible says it looks like. It looks like when Jesus loved us all while we were still in our sins, that he forgave us and laid down his life for us. John says that we have to be willing to lay down, the apostle, John says, we have to be willing to lay down our life for all of the other believers the same way. He says, hereby, 1 John 3:16, Hereby receive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So what form does that take? What does that mean, laying down your life for somebody? Obviously, if I physically die for somebody, it's not going to do anybody any good. Jesus was the only holy one that we need and the only one we're going to get. And he's the one that died for us all. So he's not talking about a physical death of any kind. He's talking about a spiritual death where we, as the Bible says, daily take up our cross. And we learn to crucify that fleshly, prideful part of us, particularly pride in doctrines and in our different doctrines. Crucify that fleshly pride in us, in ourselves, and begin to unite in the one spirit of love that Jesus did, in fact, give us for all believers.
And, Tim, does that mean forgiveness, forgiving others?
Absolutely. Forgiveness is a huge, huge key for Christian unity. We essentially have to forgive each other for all of those other doctrines that we don't yet agree in or that we don't understand properly. It's, I guess, one of the key ones to begin with is the doctrine of baptism for salvation, okay? We're proposing that we unite in our faith in Christ because every Christian must have faith in Christ. And we're proposing we unite in that and forgive each other for those differences regarding the doctrines, the various doctrines of baptism. There's all kinds of doctrines. There's the concept that you must, as it was true in the Church of Christ that I was raised in, that you must go under the water to, in fact, become a Christian and to be saved. There's the concept that's taught by the Baptists, Catholics, that baptism is required for salvation, but it can take the form of sprinkling. And then there are others, such as the Baptists, who say that there is no requirement for baptism at all. And in fact, there are some of those Baptists who go on to teach that what is required is faith plus nothing. And from that, they interpret that if you add any requirement to salvation, added on to the idea of faith in Christ, then in fact, you didn't have faith in Christ in the first place. Well, we're trying to overcome that from all directions, for the Baptists, for the Church of Christ, for the Catholics, for everybody. Whatever you believe is a requirement for salvation, let's start with faith in Christ. Let's forgive one another for the rest, the same way he forgave us while we were still in our sins. That's what Jesus said. He said, love one another as I love you. Well, he loved us while we were still in our sins. So if we can find unity in God's love for us, which is sent to all of us in Jesus, then we can forgive ourselves, or forgive each other, forgive one another for those other doctrines and begin uniting in what Jesus did for us on the cross so that the world can see it in all of us.
Sounds to me like love is a love, forgiveness, which of course forgiveness is a product of a person receiving God's love. All of that becomes a very...
Barriers must fall. The body of Christ must come together in unity of the Spirit to reach this region for the Lord. There is a spiritual revolution on the horizon. The true church of the 21st century will not be silenced and will unite for the glory of our God.
The Road to Unity is sponsored by ABBA Worldwide Ministries Incorporated. Send all correspondence to ABBA, that's ABBA, at Post Office Box 2281, Wilton, New York, 12831. Our phone number is area code 518-664-3122. Our email address is abbaworldwide@aol.com. Remember, the road to unity is paved with love. Let's walk the road to unity together.